long as the TV camera doesn't catch you hunting, because it'll be terrible in 7 o'clock news, you've got your mouth full of something and it's rang. Irene, be careful, eh? The SABC can set you up here now. Huh? Present you in a very negative light this evening on the news. I think we were stopped at the point where the AG had completed the presentation. Are we now getting a response from the interim board or some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think just as we start, we'd like to obviously thank the Auditor General of South Africa, ACSA, for the report as submitted, and obviously appreciate the opportunity to comment on the conclusions as well as the allegations that have been investigated. We have responded where we confirmed that we've responded to ACSA confirming that the board wasn't in a position to comment on the factual correctness of the findings in the report due to the time constraints. And also, since we've not been able to independently verify the contents of the report, however, we have assumed that all the facts as presented in the report were correct and are correct, and therefore we had actually as a board focused on the way forward regarding the specific recommendations in the report by ensuring that the issues of non-compliance that have been raised are addressed decisively by the board. And as such, what we've done, we've agreed that we will compile proposals on changes to certain of the policies of SABC practices and schemes as part of our exit report to the new permanent SABC board. What we've also done, we've agreed that we will immediately act upon all the findings and the recommendations relating to the supply chain management, HR issues, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We've also said that we will seriously consider and institute disciplinary actions against individuals still in the employ of the SABC. And thirdly, we said we'll seriously consider instituting legal or criminal proceedings against individuals who are no more in the employ of the SABC. And as such, the interim board, about a week ago, immediately after we obtained the report and reviewed it, we appointed two groups of legal counsel to advise the board firstly on the AG's report as well as another forensic report which came to the attention of the board. And we appointed a board member, Leslie Sidibe, to coordinate all these disciplinary actions, potential actions, on behalf of the board and liaise with the legal counsel. And just maybe before I would end off, we as a board can confirm that we are in full agreement with ACSA that the SABC's fundamental challenges and the underlying causes which contributed to the current situation has been the lack of the quality of reporting, governance arrangements, as well as a leadership oversight. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll hand over to Leslie Sidibe just to give a report back on the action that we are proposing as the interim board.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Auditor General, the Chairperson of the SABC Board, interim board, colleagues, members of Parliament. I noticed that the DG of Communication is here, and the man who holds the purse is also here. So when I ask for funding, at least I left sympathetic ears. And to everyone in the room, thank you very much, and obviously to SABC management. The report as presented by the Auditor General before the break obviously raises a number of serious issues. Serious allegations were made that required investigations. And what we have before us is a report on some of the allegations that were investigated and the findings that were made by the Auditor General. I think it is important to emphasize at the very outset that there are some allegations, as you will note in the report, that remain outstanding, which would require investigation. So that's quite key. The second issue is that even some of the allegations, to the extent that there is some information which is outstanding, they still need to be digested. People need to be offered the opportunity to respond to those allegations. I think it's quite important. There is a principle in law which is best captured by the maxim, the ulti alteram partem rule, which speaks to the fact that the other side deserves the opportunity to be heard. And so in approaching this report from the Auditor General as the interim board, we are very mindful of the constitutional framework that exists in South Africa. Also quite important for us is that we make sure that we do not have repeat incidents where we people are prosecuted, people are placed on suspension, 10 months later, 39 months later, people are still on suspension, as indicated in the report earlier. I suppose, in essence, what I'm saying is that justice delayed is justice denied. And I think it's a very fundamental justice principle that we should all adhere to. I'm informed now that it is in line with the SABC's repeat policy to repeat the presentation that I gave to members of the of the committee earlier on. So what you will see is not in conflict with the SABC's strategy on repeat. It is exactly the report that I presented earlier, bar one or two qualifications. Here it goes. Just to refresh our minds, the Auditor General's report focused on certain allegations that were made by members of the previous board, including allegations from organized labor. And the central focus of the investigation was on three areas. One was supply chain management, two was fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and thirdly, human resource related issues. These investigations and the findings of the Auditor General, by their very nature, they are very serious, and therefore, as an interim board, we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we implement those recommendations and that we act in an appropriate manner to make sure that we deal with the challenges that are raised in terms of the report. So as they say in the township, nothing personal. Thank you. From now on again, you need water to cool down. General findings by the Auditor General's report cover a number of areas. One of those areas that are identified in the report is the question of the lack of accountability. Now, the lack of accountability, in our mind, really has to do with the fact that people commit certain transgressions, and the general perception is that they walk away without being held accountable for their actions. And I think a very important message that needs to be made, or that comes from the board, is that there has to be accountability on the part of those individuals that have breached their responsibilities. So if you have done nothing wrong, you have nothing to worry. That's the long and the short of it. And so the question of accountability is quite key. And certainly, as directors of the board, we have a responsibility to make sure that those recommendations are implemented. The second area that was identified in the report is the lack of fiscal discipline and adherence to treasury regulations. And that really deals with the question of how the monies within the SABC are either abused or the manner in which they are spent. The Auditor General mentioned that the SABC has a very strong and a very good, solid supply chain management policy. Also identified that in certain respects, this policy has not been followed. And so to the extent that the policy has not been followed, the people that did not follow the supply chain management policy, they have to be brought to account. So that goes back to the earlier point about accountability. But what was also found was that in certain respects, there is a lack of policies and procedure, particularly on areas like content. But as we also had, the issue of the petrol card. Now, I asked the question, is it a maintenance card or is it a petrol card? And well, obviously, one needs to be careful here because every agreement would have to be evaluated. Now, if people have enjoyed the benefits in terms of their contract, which in certain people's minds might be excessive, they've done nothing wrong. And I think it's quite important that one makes that point. But at the same time, certain things which are deemed to be unreasonable would obviously have to be called to line. The other area that was identified was the failure to conduct needs analysis and from channels. To try and understand, as you acquire content, whether there's been proper engagement with the channels. Now, these are some of the issues that emanate from the report. The report also deals with wastages and inefficiencies. There's another report by internal audit, SABC internal audit, that talks to the question of acquisition of content from unauthorized suppliers. Now, that's quite serious because in our view, in some of these instances, you find that there's an element of criminality involved. If you're going to acquire content, particularly where that content, and I mean, we know what content was acquired, and we know which content is in question, and we can prove that that content was broadcast, and yet the suppliers, the owners of the intellectual property in that content, will tell you that we did not license that content. And so one needs to go in, as they say, in company law terms, pierce the corporate veil, pierce the veil to see if there are really any incidents of criminality involved. So this will require some investigation. There's also a question of the appointment of service providers to provide similar services, and in general, the whole question of failure to declare business interest, and we want to respond to these allegations. Dealing with the findings on supply chain management policy, quite fundamental and important, as it was found by the Auditor General. Paragraph 1191 of the SABC's supply chain management policy states, and I quote, "It shall be the SABC's policy not to purchase any goods or services from any employee or employee-owned business to ensure that suppliers competing with the SABC for the SABC's business have confidence in the integrity of the SABC's selection process." Now, that's quite key, very fundamental, very important. Now, one of the things that the chairperson raised earlier on is the need for us to introduce a control register containing all approvals from employees. And following on that, one of the things that will have to happen with immediate effect is that all the employees within the SABC will have to declare their interest. So people will be given an opportunity to declare their interest. You may have declared interest previously, you are given another round to declare your interest, because it may very well be that since your last disclosure, you have acquired interest in other businesses, and therefore it is important that the interest register is updated on a yearly basis. And of course, where there are clear violations, disciplinary steps will have to be taken. I now wish to deal with the element of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And as per the Auditor General's report, you will notice that this segment of the report by the Auditor General is based on an internal report by SABC audit, something that was raised at an audit committee, various transgressions around fruitless and wasteful expenditure which were investigated, and we want to deal with that in a moment. Now, these are the areas of misconduct that were found. One, that there were incidents of individuals exceeding their levels of authority under the delegated authorities framework, which is quite an important document. Then there are also incidents of splitting of contracts to bring the contract within, or the deals within the appropriate levels of authority, that there were purchases made without proper business plans and deal appraisal. And I can tell you, and we can prove this, where certain deals were done, and they were bad deals when one wants to make that point. Some of them were really steamrolled into the system, where there was no clear thought, even against finance recommendation. Some of these things went through. And so we have to deal with those. Then there are incidents of overpayments to suppliers, including double payments, as you will see in the report. Agreements not properly vetted, and some of them poorly negotiated. Content paid for but not delivered. Content delivered but not broadcast. Then there are incidents, of course, as I mentioned earlier, where all I really want is Enter the Dragon or Sour Grapes. There's another movie here that we came across called Sour Grapes that was licensed. Sorry, there's no Sour Grapes on my part. It's the name of the title. I'm just changing it for the record. Where the title was licensed, but it was not delivered. And sometimes there are incidents where titles are delivered, but they are not broadcast because they are not in line with the strategy from the channel. So it's a whole, there's an English word called cacophony, and myriad of challenges that arise. And then there are incidents reported of titles acquired more than once from the same suppliers. As I indicated, these challenges, these allegations will be formally put to those individuals who are responsible for these areas. And where appropriate, disciplinary steps will follow. Now, the Auditor General's report, as I mentioned earlier on, it is based on the report from internal audit, something that was picked up by the audit committee of the SABC, the previous board. And the scope of that report was to identify and quantify possible fruitless and wasteful expenditure as a result of failure to broadcast content, identify any possible irregularities in contracting with suppliers, identify incidents of double payments and overpayments, establish whether proper procedures were followed, and then make a certain recommendation. A total of 169 contracts with a value of 1 billion rands were evaluated. And in reviewing all these contracts, in the end, we whittled down the list to a number where we believe we have a winnable case. Yes, I said it, a winnable case. What are we going to do about it? The allegations that have been leveled by previous members of the board, including the union, within the Auditor General's report. As I said, first and foremost, individuals who are fingered to have transgressed, whether it's the supply chain management policies, they will be confronted. These challenges or these allegations will be put to them. And to the extent possible, and this is what we want to do, disciplinary steps are going to be taken. I want to deal with this, Chairperson, and I will start with ANC, sorry, Section 57A and C, and then I'll go on to deal with, yes. Oh, was that fine? Okay, sorry. Because I think are some people coping with this, otherwise I can move on to D and A. And I'll go back to A and C. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I think that, and this would apply across all state-owned enterprises. There's a very strong message. I think the SABC and the challenges that it finds itself in really provides this country with an opportunity of how to properly run a state-owned enterprise. You know, one of the first major points of departure has to be the PMFMA, the legal framework. And one of the things that are raised in Section 57A and C is the question of accountability. A states, an official in a public entity must ensure that the systems of financial management and internal control established for that entity is carried out within the area of responsibility of that official. And so this part of the legislation is very specific. It just doesn't talk about group liability or by what you call the doctrine of common purpose. No, it talks to a specific individual. You have a responsibility, so each and every official has a responsibility. C states must take effective and appropriate steps to prevent any irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I'm merely raising these things because they are identified in the report. So if I can then go on to deal with D, I mean, DNA really talks about compliance with the legislation. Yeah. Oh, it's B, sorry. If we were to go to C, C is quite key. C states that an official in a public entity is responsible for the effective, efficient, economical, and transparent use of financial and other resources within that official's area of responsibility. Now, what you have seen in the report clearly states or points towards the fact that in some of the instances you cannot say that they were effective and efficient and economical transparent use of financial resources. And so as a basic point of departure for the interim board, we are guided by the Green Book and the Black Book. No, I'm not talking about the Bible. Obviously, everything else is underpinned by the Bible. But there is a document that's called the Delegated Authorities Framework within the SABC. That's the Black Book I'm referring to. Very key. We are guided by that, including all the other policies, such as the Treasury policies. Now, when you look at that slide, it does not say that they were efficient and effective because there are double payments made to suppliers, according to the findings, of 1.3 million, overpayments to suppliers of 2.3 million, materials paid for but not received, 88 million. Now, this is serious money. 88 million. You've paid 88 million, but the material is not received. And we have a list of those titles. Agreements, in our view, totaling about 14.5 million would have to be renegotiated. Titles acquired more than once for the same period from the same supplier during the same license period total 5.1 million. Now that's quite a very serious slide on its own. That requires serious attention and focus under wasteful and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. How are we going to deal with this? In reviewing the reports, people that are implicated are at various levels, junior and senior. Our approach with the junior is that we propose an informal disciplinary action which will be chaired by a line manager. Employees will be given an opportunity to plead to the charges, and where appropriate, they will be given the sanction, whether it's a first warning or final written warning. And depending on the severity of the charge and what transpires out of the engagement, we may very well end up in a formal disciplinary process. We are proposing for the senior managers formal disciplinary actions to be taken to protect the integrity of the process, because we do not want for somebody to say, yeah, but so-and-so has issues with me. They have to upgrade that movie. We must all watch it. We do not want anybody to say their rights are prejudiced by the chair, not being fair, etc. So we We propose that the formal disciplinary hearings be chaired by independent external chairperson. And the focus of the allegations will be on, we're not interested in corridor talk. We're not interested in urban legends. We're not interested in stories that people talk about in Shebeens. Nothing wrong with talking in the Shebeens. We're not interested in stories that have absolutely no substance. We want allegations that can be proven. We don't want things that, you know, somebody ends up with 100 charges, for example. That's not the way to go. Focus on those areas where there are clear transgressions and deal with them. So that is going, that's what we propose to do. In terms of way forward, we believe it's quite fundamental and important. The Auditor General stated that some of these allegations require more investigation. So those investigations will be done. Where we are ready, we'll finalize the charges, obtain mandates from the board to initiate the disciplinary processes, appoint the chairperson for both the formal and informal disciplinary hearings, convene the hearings, and then, of course, deal with what is fundamentally a very disturbing issue that the Auditor General has raised. And that is the number of outstanding cases, disciplinary cases, where for the last 3 years, somebody has been playing, has been on a golf course. I'm not saying any individual. I'm just saying it's hypothetically Joe Sove, who could literally been placed on suspension for 3 years. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Finalize those cases. If there is nothing in life as having an X hanging over your head, because it is really unfair on those people, and we believe that those matters need to be finalized. Quite critical. Then we will agree on the timelines and the scope of the mandate. We have challenges which we wish to bring to your attention. One of the challenges that we have is that this is an unbudgeted item. It's an unfunded mandate. Because we have recommendations, and these recommendations require action, and some of the recommendations here require us to conduct further investigation. So we'd have to look for resources in view of the financial position of the SABC. The other challenge, of course, is the transition from the interim board to the permanent board. Because what we don't want to see happen is some of these issues falling through the crack. And so you end up with a situation of what is called paralysis through analysis, or analysis paralysis, where people continue to, should we really do this, should we not do this? It is a challenge, and that's why it is important that between the permanent board and the interim board, that there is a very seamless integration in terms of the handover process, and that the vision and the momentum is not lost. So that's quite key. Another area, of course, is that to the extent that criminal charges are preferred against certain individuals, it is then outside of our mandate as the interim board, and we would have to rely on those law enforcement agencies. In terms of civil cases, we are going to demand the money that we are owed, because we believe that the money should not have been paid. And so we are going to send out letters of demand. And if there's resistance, we are going to issue summons. Yes, we are going to sue people for the monies that they received when they should not have received those monies. And we will prove our case in court. And to the extent that certain people, the auditor is able to find, as per Section 25 of the Broadcasting Act, that some of these monies were irregular, the SABC auditor may disallow any payment made without authority and report the disallowance to the board, and the amount so disallowed may be charged against the person responsible for it as a debt. So some people may have to readjust their budgets and tighten the belt, because if we find, sorry, I didn't say it, it's the Governor General, the Reserve Bank Governor, the people must tighten their belt, and the same applies here. So letters of demand will be issued against suppliers where we have overpaid, where there's not been any delivery of content, then we require that content. And where appropriate, we will terminate some of these contracts and renegotiate the deals. And just to give members the comfort, those letters are ready, including the charges in the disciplinary. The disciplinary one is Exhibit A, Chairperson. Exhibit B is a list of all the summons and the letters of demand that will go out. The amount involved, according to the report, is in the order of 111, 112 million. So it's quite a significant money. And just on this point, there are people who also owe the SADC. We encourage you to pay us because we are coming after you. The third area is the question of criminal investigation. Now, this is an area where we believe that we don't want to make the mistake of violating people's rights. It's quite important. And so these issues will have to be properly digested, and people have to be charged. And yes, there are certain individuals who will be charged. We will engage with the various law enforcement agencies, including the South African Police Service, where we believe that there's a prima facie case of generally corrupt practices . We believe that this should be pursued. There are also incidents where we may have to call in SARS. The Auditor General spoke earlier on about certain fringe benefit taxes that were not, HR did not do the appropriate. So to the extent that there are outstanding tax issues, those will have to be dealt with by the appropriate authorities. Areas of investigation, we'll look into whether there was any fraud in some of the dealings, the breaches of PMFMA, the Companies Act, and the Broadcasting Act. And so we are in the process of setting up those meetings because it's quite important that we deal with these issues as speedily as possible. In terms of the timelines, we received a draft report on the 8th of September, which was really, from our point of view, an initiation phase in reviewing the Auditor General's report to allow us to be at a point where we are able to deal with some of the allegations. We've concluded that. Then we also formulated charges and started drafting letters of demand. That started on the 12th of September, and we finished that on the 17th of September. We have assessed the people and the resource requirements to be able to do this. That started on the 18th of September, and we've completed that on the 20th of September. There is definitely a need for a resource plan, and that is why the chairperson spoke earlier about the fact that some law firms will have to be engaged to assist us in this regard. In terms of finalizing the plans and the submissions, we did that, and that's why we are here today. Timelines in terms of the number of focus areas. You look at the slide, the focus area, start date and completion date, and the expected duration. With civil action, letters will go out on the 25th of September. And I think it is important that these letters go out. If those companies believe that they don't owe us money, let them tell us that they don't owe us money, and let us argue about it. Let's not leave the issue. Just say, no, but you know, we don't want to offend our suppliers. No. We're going to send those letters, because we believe that the money is owed, unless proven otherwise. So the Pope can dance, in certain respects. Is that a Cape Town expression that resonates with you? Oh, let me say, the party is over. In respect of labor matters, We started developing the charges from the 17th of September after reviewing the various reports. And we hope that in terms of the bullet points that appear, the formulation of charges, presentation of charges, commencement of hearing, finalization of disciplinary process, we want to wrap this thing up as quickly as possible. The SABC needs to carry on with his job. That job is to deliver quality broadcast to the people of South Africa. That is quite important. And it is important that these proceedings are resolved as speedy as possible. If we don't have a case against the person, walk away. There is absolutely no point in raising urban legends that cannot be proven. We don't want to make a mockery of ourselves and make a mockery of the process. We don't want to embarrass the SABC and continue to feed the headlines on things that absolutely make no sense. In terms of the labor matters, as I said, for the junior staff, we hope to finish that end of October. In terms of senior employees, we, by virtue of the seriousness of some of the allegations, we hope this will be finished in November 2009. Now, in all these instances, I'm sure there will be admission of guilt fine. No, Chairperson, this is not a traffic fine. These are serious offenses. They will not be treated like speed cops. We're going to take a very serious approach. So we hope that by end of November, 60 days to wrap up this particular process. In terms of criminal charges, there are certain practices that are questionable. I've had a look at some of the reports. Those people will be engaged. They have to give explanations. They have to account. And if they're clear, where there are clear violations of the PMFMA and the Companies Act, etc., we're going to go after those people. Whether you are part of the SABC or you've left, you have a responsibility and you must account. We'll identify the individuals that are going to be charged, present the evidence to the police, and start with the investigation process, and we hope to finish that process by the end of September. And as I said, from then on, it is really out of our hands. Chairperson, I wish to thank you. I just want to check if there were any other points. Now, just the final point really is to say some people can expect some unsolicited mail from the SABC and its lawyers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can we get a copy of this presentation just for our record? Because we haven't brought any copies along as well. But if you could just hand over your memory stick and we could copy it here. It's on the laptop. Okay, fine. Thank you then. Advocate DeLange?
Okay, I think we must start off by thanking firstly the Auditor General and then the Interim Board for doing very important and difficult work in certain time limits, and they've pointed out what disadvantage that brings to them. But I think we should first thank them. Then I think we must be very careful as a committee that we, in how we respond with this matter, because the last thing we want to see is that we respond in a way and others respond in a way to undermine this process that it goes nowhere. It's very vital that we do everything we can to support this process to take it to its logical conclusion, whatever that conclusion may be. Because as the Auditor General and the Board have pointed out, they have done a forensic audit and they have found certain problems which there are no answers for yet. But there, of course, may be answers, either in the negative or the positive in future, once they go further with the due process as they pointed out. So it's very important that the way we respond, and everyone responds, and particularly the media, because invariably when we have investigations like this, the ones that are guilty, of course, use every means, foul and otherwise, to make sure that they undermine the process. And so firstly, we as a committee have to be careful, and if I could ever urge the media that they should be careful now they handle this thing in terms of becoming a platform for people for other agendas, that we would ask and urge them. So I want to make a few suggestions. It seems to me that it's very important that we firstly know and encourage what due processes are going to take forward from here, and in some instances even play a role in them, even if it's Lisa in terms of report backs to this committee regularly. And to make sure that those processes are in place, that there are time frames, and that we finish it within a certain period. Now, the first thing I would suggest we need to look at very carefully has been raised as one of the legal challenges. We have to be very careful as a committee where we hand over the new board, where we give them the date of handover. It's very vital because, you see, I can see what could happen. We will be urged to hand over to the new board quickly, because if you do that, the new board will have to open up all these processes again. Because then the question will be on what did you rely? You relied on other people's decisions. And those decisions that have been taken and are going to still be taken, we must be supportive of that and make sure that legally it's correct to a certain point where the process then runs on its own, because either letters have been written, disciplinary procedures have been started, then of course you don't need to take any further decisions. So that's the one issue we need to be very, very careful of, is the date on which this committee proposes the appointment of the new board. It must be done at a date, which I understand the interim board is till early January. It must be done in a way that we do not in any way undermine this process. Secondly, I would very strongly urge that, and I, you know, being in justice previously, I've seen this. One of the problems with these investigations, they fall apart because they become fragmented. You don't deal with them holistically. It's very important that every investigation is kept holistically and all players on board all the way. Even the proposals are being made here. I would suggest that's what usually happens, but I suggest that will go completely fall flat and you will have very little results out of it. There are two processes we have to look at, the one in the board or one in the SABC and the criminal processes. Now, as far as the board is concerned, I will strongly urge that there's consideration given that the AG's office and the board together form an a task team to drive these processes within the board. So there's no falling between the gaps. That task team works together. It takes it to a logical conclusion. Now, in that regard, I must say I've heard some very worrying things. Firstly, that there are some managers that have made it difficult for this process to fail. Well, I'm not surprised, of course. If they're guilty in these processes, they'll do everything they can to undermine the process. So what I suggest, Chair, is that you, particularly, Chair, are given the names of these people in the SABC who are undermining this process. And if necessary, that this committee can then play a role in making sure that those people do not actually jeopardize this process. At this stage, we won't have to jump in there. Let's first give you a chance to find out who it is, because at least they could do their work. But if there are processes now that are undermined, very clearly, you need to stay in the loop on those, and you can then, in turn, make sure that those are brought to this committee if we have to. So the first suggestion really is a suggestion that in this investigation, it's done collectively, it's done as a task team, and we make sure that things don't fall through the cracks. And I would fully support the approach of the presenter, that clearly where there are people that may be peripherally there and there's not evidence, let's just leave that. Let's move on with the ones that we can deal with. Because otherwise we create huge problems for ourselves legally. I would suggest one thing. We must be careful to say that junior people we're only going to deal with informally. Because clearly if there are criminal charges in terms of possible criminal charges, in fraud or otherwise, even if whether you're junior or not, I mean, clearly that has to be pursued, so I would just urge that. The second area I would suggest very carefully we have to look at is the area of the criminal matters. You know, if we do it the way we've suggested now, you hand it over to the police and so on, the thing's going to become completely fragmented. Because how do the police work? They receive maybe John did this, then they'll hand it to Detective Pete. Maybe Lamini did this and they'll hand it over to Sonny van der Spey. And so the whole thing becomes fragmented because you're checking individual charges. The way to deal with this is, I think, Chair, would suggest that you and the board together meet with the NDPP and the Commissioner of Police. And that our proposal there should be that a joint task team is formed between the AG's office, the NDPP, the NPA, and the police, that joint task team is responsible for investigating this, so it remains holistically done. It's done collectively, you can see where the linkages are, and that prosecutions then flow from that task team. If you fragment it into the criminal justice system, nothing's going to happen. Because prosecutor and detective X, sitting with a pile of work there, for them it's neither here nor there, and they try and move through these things, it's not going to happen. So, the second suggestion would be that meeting takes place, Chair, I would propose you, if the committee agrees, with the interim board, makes those meetings with those three entities and makes the suggestions of that task team with a mandate and with time frames attached to it. And that clearly there's also regular reporting from that task team, like the other task team, back to the chair, who can then inform this committee if there are places we have to intervene and so on with the powers that we have at this level. So those are the three major issues I would address. I would suggest if there is agreement on the first task team that there's three things that need to be looked by that task team. It's disciplinary matters, it's whether they're criminal matters, but also, very importantly, corrective action should be driven now. You know, a lot of this is through gaps in policy and there aren't certain things that are happening. The problem is we can't wait for another 4 months and then the next lot make mistakes. And you get there as well. So it would be those three. Then lastly, you know, I just find it astounding, these legal opinions you've got. What does the legal opinion say? When you do something as an authorized person, it's legal, it's fine. But the opinion says, when somebody is unauthorized, and approves a 360-odd million contract, that it's still legal, you can't do anything. I mean, everything about me that's logic says it's wrong. Now forget about being legal. How can, if you act in an authorized manner, have the same consequences when you act in an unauthorized manner? It can't be. Legally it can't be. So I would suggest that you remember what an opinion is. It's just an opinion of an individual. I would suggest that the board goes and gets further opinions on these matters and looks at this properly. To accept that people can act in an unauthorized manner, when everyone knows, even when I came to this committee, the first thing they told me is that any approval of a contract over 15 million has to be dealt with. That's the first thing I was told. Now, of course, every supplier that works with the SABC knows that. So by them signing contracts with people that clearly are not authorized, they know they're acting illegally. They have to know it. So I would suggest that these legal opinions need to be looked at and they mustn't be accepted at face value and there should be further going into that. And lastly, I would urge from the chair that the chair very strongly urges that those forces that want to undermine this process, we would ask that is watched very carefully. That this process must go to its logical conclusion. At least once now, if there are people that are guilty, and I'm not assuming that there are, because I don't know. But if there are people that are guilty, they must give a proper chance to have their say. And once that is done, we must have quick action. But we must all be aware that they're going to definitely approach us in Parliament to undermine the process. And they're definitely going to approach certain other forces that have power to undermine this. In the department, for example, and definitely in the media. And we need to make sure that this time it doesn't happen. It's happened every time for 16 years. That these processes are undermined. So those are the suggestions I would make. I have aired some of them briefly with my whip, so he may want to add or subtract to those, but those are some of the proposals I want to make, Chair, because I want us to be very careful what we do. We shouldn't ask for details here yet. Firstly, people haven't had the chance to say things, and secondly, every detail we obtain here, we're undermining the process down the line. Because everyone would love for us to get the information. I know the newspapers would love it because then they've got a story. But the problem is, when you are opening up those processes on the individual, who the people are, exactly which contracts, then we're undermining the process as it goes along. So I would urge that we be very careful as we go ahead with this process in doing that, and that would be some of the proposals I make. Thank you, Chair.
Stephen Keezy. Thanks, Chair. Thanks very much. Thanks from the Office of the AGs and the Interim Board. Thanks very much for the job well done. Now, my question is just a question of clarity. There are a number of allegations that were received but were not investigated by the AG's office. Can we get maybe the views, the view of the board, what will do with those allegations? Because in your recommendation there is nothing that talks to that allegations and things like that. Because there are some allegations that are very, very serious.
Thank you, Chair. No, that is why I said that there's still going to be some investigations. So this is tranche one. Tranche two will follow. Where necessary, tranche three and tranche four. Until we get to the bottom of the problem. So yes, extra steps will be taken, but obviously there are, it's a question of resources to be able to do, because I think at the end of the day we want to avoid the situation that I said earlier where there are investigations every day at the CBC. It's not conducive to a working environment. We really need to get going. That's why some of these allegations would have to be tested and where appropriate decisions are taken and we move on. Avoid urban legends. Let's close the chapter. You cannot substantiate the allegation. Move on. Let us respect people's rights. Let us move on. If those people dare you to charge them, then we will charge you if you dare to charge you. But yes, there definitely would have to be some more work. This is merely tranche one and based on the time constraints.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am very happy to hear that this is just tranche one. Because clearly further investigations need to follow. This is just because of the time constraint. I just want to add my voice to thank the Auditor General. They had a limited period for the investigations, and they also faced serious challenges as far as we could ascertain as to access to specific documents, etc., to make the investigations easier and to come to a logical conclusion. And I would like to add my voice there to Honorable De Lange, who suggested that those individuals who are making such investigations difficult should be identified and they should really be reported so that we could really investigate every little bit of the problem. As far as the interim board and their firm proposals are concerned, Chairperson, I would like to also say thank you to them. As Congress of the People, we've always said we want to see that justice is done. We wanted to have an open process because we said that the problem was not to just get rid of a previous board. The problem was to unroot what was wrong at the SABC, to open up and to see where things went wrong. That institution, Chairperson, is clearly terminally ill. This was a resuscitation so far, and we thank the interim board for the actions taken to help resuscitate that body, but now it has to continue. We particularly are satisfied with the firm proposal that there will be a control register so that people with conflict of interest can be identified and that we could arrest the fruitless and wasteful expenditure at that institution. As we all know, they're facing a huge deficit and we must stop the holes in this process. I want to just say something before I just want to add my voice to Honorable De Lange, and that is as far as the turnaround strategy is concerned at the SABC. I believe the time has come for us as a committee to cooperate, to take this process further, but also for everybody in the SABC to realize there's no place to hide. Get your house in order, because this committee, as far as we are here for the rest term for 4.5 years, we will not let go of this matter. We will clean it out inside out. We must expose all officials and all individuals who are not acting in the best interest of the public broadcast, but who are actually doing their own thing to further their own interests. So we will certainly give our cooperation as an opposition grouping, Chairperson. We want to say the message must be clear. Stick to the rule book. The rule book is the PFMA, and the Treasury regulations. As long as you stick to those two institutions, those two books, those guidelines, nothing can go wrong. But come clean. The time is here. Way forward, we would certainly support further investigations, Chairperson, because this is clearly the oor van die steekhoek. The ears of the hippo. So we need to go further, and we need transparency and openness in this process. We really need to make sure that the integrity of this process never comes in doubt. And this is actually where we would have loved to know, Honorable De Lange, that we still had our corruption busters, the scorpions, in place. But now we will have to find some other grouping to take this process further. And I would like to support the suggestion that we bring the NPA and the Commissioner of Police together, and that this be dealt with as a sort of a separate investigation, as a complete investigation, and not on the basis of individual cases. Otherwise, we will not conclude this process. Secondly, the criminal matters, we should proceed with absolute speed and expose those, and we must see heads roll. This time round, we must mean business. But lastly, I would like to suggest, Chairperson, that I believe that what we need is additional resources. And they have not said so, but we must expect that the interim board will require, they've already hinted that they have obtained legal opinions, etc., and that is going to cost them money, but they're working very hard. And we must commend them for their absolute commitment, together with the AG's office. But we will have to look at possible support, further support from Treasury for this process. I believe that is probably also why they will be visiting Treasury soon, and they have made an appointment, but we will have to be very mindful of that. In conclusion, Chairperson, we are very happy that we believe that they mean business and nothing will be swept under the carpet, and we will certainly make sure that nothing is swept under the carpet. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. But I think two members have already spoken from the ANC. I can see you are speaking as party. There isn't anything that I wanted to speak about. I just wanted to add my voice also to say I thank the interim board. I personally, really, I never thought they would do such a thorough job within such a small space of time. Really, I think I thank them. And you see, if you empower a woman, you empower the whole nation. Yeah, this is directed to the chairperson. Yes, and I will also. Thank the I would also thank the Auditor General, and I think I want to concur with Honorable Delange that I nearly said Delange. And I never concur with it. In saying there is no need for us to pose questions really and interrogate whatever is in front of us, we might be doing a huge mistake by doing so. I had perused this document, and I've seen some of the areas that one would like to know, but I understand that this is a process and we must allow it to continue. And the proposal of smaller committees, including you, really to speak to the commissioner, I think that would be a very good idea. So that we know what happens if you go to our police. They are not yet ready to be what we want them to be. Maybe that would assist us. And so we can have a better outcome. And I don't want to talk about what we are going to hear on the news from here. But I just want to say, really, as a responsible South African, this time we must hear what has been said here. It should not be distorted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you indeed also for ensuring that members of the Select Committee on Public Accounts were invited to the morning briefing and as well as now. I was just looking at that motto or vision of SABC broadcasting for total citizen empowerment, and I don't know if it should change given the report that we've read, broadcasting for total self-empowerment. But having said that, Chairperson, I mean, there are a number of scripts that have been written by the Auditor General, which our committee has looked at and previous committees. But I think this one certainly takes the Oscar or the Dummy Award when one looks at the extent to what has been happening in an organization where I think the public would have thought there would have been good, sound fiscal management. But in saying that, one has to ask the question, I mean, there are some fundamental transgressions here that have been identified by the Office of the Auditor General. Where have the external auditors been of the SABC? And I think one needs to look at that. Either the portfolio committee or SCOPA, and then interrogate them as well in terms of not having picked up some of these things that have been a fundamental basic accounting malpractices, alleged malpractices. Let me be clear on that. Chair, I think on the question of more detailed report and investigations, which the Office of the Auditor General had indicated, one needs to know, and I think Cavazella asked that question earlier, would there be more investigations by the Office of the Auditor General? And I also think that there needs to be a very close working relationship between SCOPA and the Portfolio Committee on Communications, because there will be certain aspects, I think, which SCOPA might have to interrogate further, and certain aspects like the human resources aspects, etc., which your committee can work on. And I think there needs to be some coming together of both the chairpersons to see how we unfold the scenario as we go forward. But on the question of what was presented by the board, I think it's an excellent way forward. But when it comes to suspending disciplinary action, you know, one needs to also ensure that whilst there might be a prima facie case, if one has to suspend the senior officials, it must be done yesterday, because you don't want evidence which may be in their possession to go missing. And I think the committee which Honorable De Lange suggested, which would include yourself, Chairperson, and the members of the board, has to look into that very, very seriously. Because if people need to be out of the way pending investigation, then they must be put out of the way sooner rather than later. And also, we did hear that certain board members, previous board members, the interim board have been excellent, did possibly receive undue benefits. And if that is the case, they need to be investigated as well. If there were free trips to all over the world, taking spouses and everybody else, they need to pay that money back. One needs to look into that as well. And lastly, I think we need to support the whole question of additional resources to the interim board for them to be able to continue with their investigation, hire the best legal team and accountants so that this doesn't end up, to naught. It must not fizzle out. And even if this committee and every other committee has to suggest that there be additional appropriations in the medium-term budget, thing which is in a few weeks' time, then Treasury needs to be consulted, because I think, as explained, this will set an example to how other state-owned enterprises or public entities need to operate in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to inform the CEO of the SABC, the acting CEO, and I see all the cameras. I can tell you what's happening at the SABC just now. If you look at the end of the year at the AMS figures, this will be the best watch show amongst the SABC personnel. I can tell you. They are following everything the whole morning. Magdalene Creel, gaan doen jou werk asseblief. She was my previous boss. So, Herman Stein, gaan doen jou werk en gaan terug na jou lesenaars toe en gaan doen jou werk asseblief. Moet nie daar sit en kyk vir die televisie nie. So, that's a joke. So, there's a couple of suggestions I want to make. Firstly, you must hire a very, very good spy team. You must infiltrate the smoking rooms of the SABC. In the smoking rooms of the SABC, you will get all the information, but get the best spies in South Africa, and then you will get all the news you need inside the smoking rooms of the SABC. From the DI side, I just want to say thank you for the Auditor General and his team investigations, for the investigations, and also the work of the interim board. I think we are moving forward, and I will also urge the Office of the Auditor General to sort of be part of the whole process up till the end. As Mr. De Lange said, that there will be no leaks or whatever. But we are supporting this whole saga. And my chairperson, it will be a good thing as if we as a committee can be sort of get reports back what is happening, just to let us know. Not to make it public, but just for the information of this committee. Mr. Sidibe talked about resources. Maybe it's premature to ask the question, but does the interim board have any figure what it will cost at the end? I know it will be very difficult to say at this stage, but just to sort of give us an idea, and if you spend 100 million to get 10,000 rand back, it's not worthwhile. But I will also tell the interim board that to sort of change the direction of the SABC is like changing the direction of an oil tanker. That will be a very, very difficult operation. And I think a clean-up operation at the SABC will also be a good thing, because you must get rid of, in Afrikaans we say, the fraud caller. Not in a bad way, but you must get rid of things that's not working. And I'll talk about that. And I've got a new movie for you, Mr. Sidibe. You can watch. You can watch Save Willie. So we can call the SABC now Willie, and that's the motto, Save Willie.
Do you want to respond now, or you want to take it later on?
If I may deal with...
I've still got a few hands.
Oh,
members.
I'll just deal with that question.
Okay.
If I may deal with the question, of course, raised by the Honourable Member van den Berg. I think we... Our fundamental approach is guided by a number of key principles, and whoever we engage, to say there are law firms who've benefited financially over the years, and we believe that people need to plow back. So that's the approach that we've adopted in our approach to some of these firms, and some of the work that's been done, it's been done on a pro bono basis by some of the top legal firms in this country. That is how we've approached it, to appeal to them to say there is a national project that requires national service. But we accept also that these people, these are businesses, and we have to pay them. And we are in the process of negotiating fees with them. Say, can you go three bars down? This seems to be very aggressive.
And so we are not in a position at this point to give you a rent amount, but certainly our policy is one, strong negotiation in terms of containing the cost, and also when we will be able to pay them. As the chair already indicated, we are not going to pay them immediately, so people should not think that they will be able to invoice the next day. They will be paid in some foreseeable future when things are shaping up for the organization. That is our approach to these firms. And yes, the point about the law of diminishing returns, that is why, in as much as there's a total of about 169 contracts that were involved, some of these are not really material. Let us not waste time. Let us go for the big fish, as they say.
Zandi?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to begin by also echoing the sentiments and views of my other committee colleagues in thanking the Office of the Auditor General and the interim board for the job well done, and also for the steps that they intend taking in bringing this matter to some finality. But I just have a question for the members of the interim board. In your own view, what is the morale of the staff at the SAPC? I guess that the bad news about the SAPC must have given them a feeling that this is an institution under siege. This sort of intervention, how do they view it? There was intimation to some sort of non-cooperation with the process. How has it been? Have there been people, have people in at the SAPC given enough cooperation with the process? Is it because of some resentment? Do they see this thing as meddling interference and things like those? Because the SAPC is not just the shell, it's not just the building at Auckland Park, but it's the people inside. How long are we going to arrive at a situation where we are going to be able to say, look, now the situation we is now turning for the better? We know that some of the investigations are going to take quite some time, but at the same time we need to arrest the debilitation of the morale of the staff and the people at the SAPC, so that the institution, the corporation, could actually fire at all cylinders. Those are my two questions, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm going to ask my chairperson to respond to other issues, so I don't monopolize this conversation. Empower a woman, empower a nation, and the whole world.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Where I start? But regarding the morale, I think one of the first things we did as an interim board, when we got involved in the, in fact, when we got appointed, was to exactly work on the morale of staff. I mean, the first meeting we had, Honorable Chair and the members of the committee, can remember when we reported on, in July, we indicated that we had our first meeting with management and the executive team, and there were quite a bit of apprehension. In the sense that they didn't know what to expect, etc. And you know, when you run a business, your people it's very important to have the support of the people, because the reality is the SABC is still it's a good organization. It's a good corporation, there are lots of good people. Not everybody is bad. you know, in fact, there are more good people than bad people, to be honest. On top of it, we knew that the institution is such a great organization because it so delivers. It's still an institution that delivers, you know, information, education, and entertainment to 24 million people every day, 24 million South Africans. And therefore, it was important for us to remind, in fact, the first day we were reminding people of the SABC that, in actual fact, it's such a great institution. They can make so much money. They can serve such a greater purpose than what they are serving now, but they don't even realize it. And our job was to make people understand that they actually was a great institution, and it is their job and role to protect that institution so that they can continue to deliver to the 24 million people every day. So our job, to be honest, has really been that, to focus on the positive side. To the extent they say, you know, sometimes you can send somebody to hell and they need to look forward to that. The idea is that when you do something that is right, it will be the ones, the good people in the organization that will protect the SABC. They will be the ones which has happened. They will be the ones to look at other people, not wanting them to waste the resources of the organization. And as the AG team said earlier on, you have to set the tone at the top. So when the interim board came on board, that's exactly what we are leading by example. You set the tone at the top and it will filter down. So at the end of the day, we think there's obviously the report is not good for some people, quite a few people, and we will deal with the people. In fact, people who don't belong in the organization in the sense that they don't follow procedures and the policies, they don't fulfill their fiduciary duty, they don't really belong there. People who don't perform, who don't deliver to the 24 million people, don't belong there. Everybody understands that, but then the ones who want to deliver, we need to support them. So our job is to support them, to create a team that's a team that looks forward to delivering to the 24 million audience. So we have a great institution, and therefore, you know, they say, even though things might look bad, but there's always a positive side to that. So, and that's our job, to ensure that we stabilize this institution so when the permanent board comes on board, that they have a very great institution, that they have money, they have a good team, and they have a great organization. So that's what we will do. So I hope I've addressed the issue.
Very much. Lindy Maduoko.
I think it's just to remember who brought the issues to the attention of this committee. It was some management, some staff and the unions. That's how much they cared about the SABC, that they brought the issues here, and you therefore set up, you know, this process. And I think that's what has to be remembered. This is as a result of people within the SABC caring enough to make sure that, you know, the issues are given due attention.
Just add on to that. We did actually hold meetings with the labor as well as just the general workers at SABC called Red Fishing. And there was, you know, apprehension that, you know, the SABC is in dire straits and something must be done in order to rescue it. So I think our intervention was timely and it is appreciated.
Yes, one issue to follow up. And that is, the Auditor General has reported on the issues that were brought before this Parliament and that have now been investigated. Some have not, as you've heard. But also there is another dimension, and one of the first things that the Interim Board did was to ask, there's a big box that was in the foyer, asking staff to participate and if there were other issues that they felt required investigation. So that too, I mean, when you're talking about morale, part of the job of the interim board will be to follow through those investigations, because they cannot be left. I mean, they have as Ms. Lloyd has said, participated very constructively in wanting to make the SABC a better place and a public broadcaster which we the nation can be proud of. So when we get to the issue of resources, it really we can't sit here now and quantify and qualify exactly what we need. But if we are to follow through that trust that has been placed in us, we will need the resources to complete those investigations.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson, and thank you for making those points. That's exactly what I was going to ask, because the reason we're here today is because of organized labor and members of the SABC, the previous SABC board, who leveled certain allegations. And I was just wanting to know, in terms of the morale at the SABC being affected by some investigations remaining incomplete, and some staff members feeling as though their concerns haven't necessarily been adequately aired. What is the plan regarding the list of the allegations that the Auditor General couldn't complete in time for this report back? And I back the call by my colleagues to bring the question of resources into this, because obviously it's very important. But I think as a very urgent measure in order to restore both internal and external confidence in the SABC, everybody needs to see all of these allegations being addressed. So I wanted to know, in terms of time frames, interim board versus new board, how these final allegations are going to be dealt with.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that we need to be very careful, and I'll go back to what I said earlier on. You see, there are people who are malicious, who may want to use a process like this to settle personal scores. And so we have to be very careful that we do not, for the sake of expediency and the headlines, rush the process. So we will collate all the input that we would have received from staff. There's the question of the additional resources once they are on board. Certainly part of what needs to happen, that's quite important and very critical, that there needs to be a seamless integration between this board and the permanent board so that nothing falls through the crack. And one takes on board the comments that were made by Honorable Member Dilani. You don't want to fragment this process. You want to make sure that it is tight so that we don't have a situation in future where the momentum is lost, and some of us are playing golf in Honolulu and people cannot be found. It's important that we run a tight ship. And so we have to go back and carefully reassess, quite fundamental, the question of resources. We can talk all we want and make whatever false promises, but if we don't have the resources, we would be misleading this house. So we are saying that the question of resources, and we would have to sit down with the Treasury and engage them on the resources that we require. So we'll provide a resource plan and a project plan. So I really think that this is actually something where that really requires strong people with strong project management skills who are able to say to you, here are your key milestones, and are we able to track those milestones and make sure that we do not miss those milestones. So on Chinese PLEs, we mean business.
I hope the golf matters, if there are people who are playing golf, is not on the account of the SABC.
I can be invited if you want.
No, but I think of the ANC, we firstly would like to appreciate the effort and the hard work by the Auditor General to deal with this matter promptly as they did, and appreciate the interim board to cooperate with the Auditor General investigation, including some senior executive managers. We will be failing in our duty if we do not extend our appreciation to organized labor within the SABC to remain vigilant and ready to put their neck on the block by raising this allegation that resulted to this investigation, which are presented today in this report.
of course, and the other staff and the management and the board of the SABC. Chair, the SABC is our public broadcaster. Ourselves as Parliament, in particular this committee, which we need to guard jealous and protect it. To the employees of the SABC, we must say that the country still needs them, in particular their services, especially those men and women in the SABC who have behaved in a manner that protected the integrity of the SABC. During our debate of the interim board chair, the appointment, we were accused or accusations were leveled against the ANC as a leading party that we had dissolved the previous board because we were protecting the executive managers of the SABC. The charge which we pleaded not guilty at that particular time. And indeed, today we are vindicated by the commitment of these men and women appointed in the interim board to deal with these issues head on. We welcome the report presented before us and the proposed action and some of the additions which need to be taken by the interim board. To say it's not necessary to support other people's token, but to serve our SABC. I repeat, I'm not promoting any other groupings. That's the action we have taken to serve our SABC. As the accounting authority, the board, you've got the fiduciary duty, as we've mentioned, to do so. And you should do so without fear or faith. We further call upon the Department of Communications as a sole stakeholder on behalf of the people of South Africa to take firm action within their competence, which might include the issue of resources as might be needed by the interim board. Furthermore, we call upon for swift action by our law enforcement agencies when they are approached by the interim board to do so. Ourselves as a committee and our colleagues on the Public Accounts Committee, we should work tirelessly to ensure that all relevant legislation and policies are adhered to the latter by all public entities. And those found wanting must be dealt with decisively. I think the action taken by the interim board needs to be adopted by other boards, including the board which we need to appoint. Because indeed, you cannot have a board which seems to handle things in a romantic manner. Things must be dealt with professionally, and swift action must be taken in all respects where needs arise. But we are also pleased, Chair, from the presentation of the interim board, that they don't seem to be personal or after individuals, but they are seeking for what belongs to the people of South Africa, which might have been misappropriated or alleged, and so on and so on. I think that encourages us as a committee, but will urge that in all respects, whatever they do, they must follow the due process. We don't want to see where all your effort, your hard work, come to nothing just because we have failed to follow due process. I'm sure we have learned from the previous board that if you don't follow due process, you might end up losing everything. Thank you.
Gigi.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, we as the department, I think, would really firstly like to emphasise our commitment to ensuring that we have a public broadcaster that is not only optimal in its output, but that is also well-resourced. So we will ensure that it is responsive at all times to the needs of the South African public, and in doing so, we are committing ourselves here today to continue to engage with the interim board to ensure that the relevant resources are provided to the SABC within, obviously, the ambit of what is properly quantified and what is reasonable and required. So we make that specific undertaking. But we also do welcome the findings of the Auditor General and the proposed course of action that has been proposed by the interim board. And we have had various engagements with these two entities in order to refine what our involvement will be with regard to the way forward. We have also, as a department, started engaging with the interim board in order to strengthen the shareholder compact so that we don't find ourselves in a similar situation going forward. So we are committed to ensuring that we have proper governance mechanisms that will be put in place. We will also ensure that we have more regular financial reporting mechanisms, and we will ensure that from an operational point of view, there is direct and periodic supervision rather than the previous approach that was initially adopted of a form of shareholder hands-off approach. So we'll be more interventionist and we'll be more active with regard to our role as a shareholder with regard to the SABC. But obviously, always taking due cognizance of the role of the board and the rights of the board as a functionary. But last but not least, we are concerned by the financial, the issues that have been raised with regard to the financial mismanagement issues within the SABC, and we will be liaising with the interim board on how best to take measures going forward to ensure that it doesn't occur going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, can I just try and summarize, because I think we need to just record the decisions of the committee. Do you want to respond?
No, Chair, I just wanted to make one final point, that at the end of the day, most of the issues that are raised here today have a lot to do with governance. And part of what we want to do going forward is to have seminars around governance. PMFMA issues, we've got King 3 coming up, we've got the New Companies Act. There will be a massive education drive to make sure that people have a better grasp and understanding of these issues going forward. Thank you, Chair.
All right, can I just try and summarize what I thought were the contributions and the suggestions of the committee members? That this committee resolved, we'll get the, you can help me with the language afterwards, but just the essence of it. The committee, together with the Select Committee on Public Accounts, will closely monitor the disciplinary, civil, and criminal processes that will emanate from this report. So we will do that jointly. Two, that the Office of the Auditor General and the Interim Board constitute a working team to process the internal disciplinary cases. We need to get guidance from you whether it is possible to do that or not in terms of your mandate and your belief, but that is what I thought were the suggestions of the members. Three, that the committee identify employees who are undermining this investigation by refusing to provide full information and records to the interim board and to report the matter to Parliament. Four, that the committee calls for the establishment of a joint task team by the Office of the Auditor General, the Commissioner of Police, and the National Director of Public Prosecutions to carry through the criminal investigation. Five, that the interim board should continue with the investigations or the unresolved investigations as listed in Annex A of the report. So there's a schedule in the back where matters are still pending or incomplete. Six, that this committee urges the Department of Communications and National Treasury to provide additional resources for the investigation to proceed. And lastly, this committee will ensure that the disciplinary, civil, and criminal processes are taken through to their logical conclusion. Does that capture the essence of all the proposals that I've heard? Advocate De Lange?
I think that's excellent, Chair. I would just suggest that the joint grouping of the AG and the interim board don't just look at the disciplinary. They process the disciplinary matters, the criminal matters, and corrective action. Because otherwise it's just a narrow looking at discipline. Clearly, we want them at the same time to fix up the problems and to deal with it. So you've got it right there, just wording it a bit wider.
Okay. Ms. Gillian?
I think if I heard you incorrectly, just please say so, but I thought you referred to the Select Committee on Public Accounts. It's just a standing committee.
Is it a standing committee?
Standing committee.
Thank you very much.
And then a further comment, Chairperson, and did we have an indication from the Auditor General that it would be fine with them as the proposal that we've made? Do we have their bind in this process, or did they still have to go and deliberate on the matter? I didn't, you know, if we can then say in that case that we proposed this, not that it's formalized as such. Thank you.
Mr. Kuruani?
Thank you, Chairperson. In my short presentation, I asked for a report back. I don't know if it's possible just to I agree with what you've said, but I think it will be appropriate if this committee sort of been kept that we know updated where we are, how the process are doing, and as Mr. DeLange said, then we must actually, as a committee from Parliament, support the whole process. Therefore, it's my point of view to be informed. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, you are correct. I can indicate that the committee has agreed last week to visit the SABC, among other entities, on the 8th of October, am I right? On the 6th of October, we will be doing a visit to the SABC. Please don't polish up the place and shine up everything on that. We're coming to do work there. So may I also indicate to Dr. Mashile Perez, we are also visiting ICASA on the 6th or 7th of October to meet with your staff. We want to do a site visit on ICASA, and at the same time we will also be visiting CENTEC in the course of that week, among other entities. So we will be getting a report back, or we would expect a report back when we come there on the 6th of October. All the details we'll communicate to the that to you later on. All right, I want to see Ms. Foss. I recognize her, and then the AG's office.
I'm sorry, Chairperson, but because this is Parliament and it's being recorded, the outstanding matters that have placed before us in this report, could I just add rather that all outstanding matters, because there are matters that are not contained here that are in the possession of the Auditor General coming from staff, which, so I think, as I said before, we must do justice to all of the outstanding matters. And they should be investigated accordingly.
Yeah.
As long as, Chair, we don't keep on adding until the time of the interim board come to an end without finishing anything. We don't have a problem, but you should have a way of saying here so that we are able to finalize. I know there will be a handoff, but also some cracks must be there. I'm just saying the editing check. It's fine, I agree, but it should not to be extended in such a way that it's not manageable.
Okay, Ms. Chani.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to raise, the time for we only have about 2 months left to complete. What we would like to do is to really ensure that we started something. We have completed everything we said we were going to complete. So the process that was outlined by Mr. Sadebe, us closing the current cases, I would just urge and caution the members that we as the interim board will not be in a position to, I think we would be, for us to continue investigating all the cases or to monitor or oversee that process. I would like us to know that these are the cases, we will investigate them, the current ones as presented today, we will close them, we will take disciplinary action, criminal charges, we will ensure we complete the process. But I don't think that we should be expected to continue with the others. So, and there's other things that we are also doing. We're not going to be able to do that report today, but we still have to ensure there's liquidity in the organization. While this case is, that's why we've delegated the task to some of the members of the interim board to coordinate. In addition to this, we still have to ensure that there's liquidity in the SABC, because at the moment they don't have money.
There's a huge liquidity issue. We are in the process of submitting a proposal on a government guarantee to the DOC Treasury. We need to complete that. We need to raise the funds so that when the permanent board comes on, when they appoint us, I mean, the day when they start, you have to have an organization that has liquidity in it. So those are things that we have to do, and we like to take on something that we know we can complete. So, you know, I just would like to caution that it should not really be expected from us to oversee all the other issues that have not been investigated. We won't be able to do that. I just want to be caution and be realistic of what we're able to do in the next 2 months.
Thank you. What is the general?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. The proposals that have been made, I do think that they are reasonable in terms of the continued insight that we can provide into the process, because we indeed have got information that is contained either in this report or in the detailed working papers that have informed this final report. That would help in handing over some pertinent and detailed information to other law enforcement agencies or other investigations that are expected to continue to be handled by the corporation. So there's no problem in us cooperating with the process of taking this to its logical conclusion. With regard to the issue of dealing with the remaining allegations, I do believe that if you look at an 80-20 principle, we have done 80% of what needed to be done. The bulk of what is the underlying reason for these issues happening has been unearthed. We will achieve very little in flogging the dead horse now. I do think that the process that interim board has adopted in looking at each case according to its merit and looking at those that matter and eliminating those that will waste time is a pragmatic approach. And therefore, what remains is to perhaps leave the process back into the coordinating of the joint task team that will do an evaluation of what has been investigated, an evaluation of what has not been investigated, relating it to the findings that have been identified thus far, and making sure that we don't duplicate the effort unnecessarily. And to the extent that disciplinary processes need to be undertaken against the individuals, that can still be linked to the areas that have not been investigated. And if further information is required, the interim board has indicated that on the balance of probability, balance of materiality and significance, all that will be done. But let's rather not duplicate the effort just for the sake of completing the list. This list will never come to an end. There must be a cut-off at some stage and move on with the institution. Thank you, Chair.
So I take it that we are not urging or calling upon the interim board then to continue with the next year A in all other cases, that we basically will ask this team to evaluate to see whether it is worthwhile proceeding on one or two or whatever it is of the cases that are still outstanding. All right, members, I think we've come to the end of the session. On behalf of the committee, I really want to thank the Office of the Auditor General. I know that we put very, very tight time frames on you. But I think we are and honored that you have met that commitment and you delivered the report on the 22nd of September. Thank you very much. Members of the Interim Committee, thank you for your hard work. And of course, to members of the committee, I know we've been stretching you for quite some time. But I think we're over the hill and now we will have a more leisurely program. So thank you very much. You can go to the House because you're going to be voting soon on some matters. Thank you then. Mr. DeLange had suggested that we adopt the minutes of last week Thursday's meeting, That won't take long. Can we just do that? Because I think it's important, particularly for last week, that we get the minutes right. So if people could leave quietly, if this could be distributed, and then we can just approve them. Yes. All right, could we quickly just read through the draft minutes?
Yes. Yeah.